An unexpected pregnancy can cause a flood of emotions. A Place for Women in Waipio is a safe place to seek education about all your pregnancy options. Our compassionate medical team provides free and confidential care while taking the time to answer your questions about your individual situation without judgment. Avoid future regrets. Seek the medical assistance you need. Education can empower you to make the best long-term decision. Our medical team is waiting to serve.
Good morning, church. How you doing? What a worship. Thank you. I really enjoyed this. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you about a special ministry that I have been able to be part of since 2010. I am the medical director of A Place for Women in Waipio and Oahu Pregnancy Center. We are the only faith-based pro-life pregnancy medical center in Oahu. The issue that we deal with at A Place for Women and Oahu Pregnancy Center is not one most churches or individuals like to discuss. So I appreciate the opportunity to share a little about the issue of unexpected pregnancy and abortion, what our ministry does, and how you can assist in helping saving women, men, and children from the effects of abortion. Let me start today by watching Ava's story. Sorry. Sorry. There we go. The decision that Laura made denied her and her child the opportunity to experience special moments of their lives. The termination of an unplanned pregnancy may seem like a quick solution at the time. However, many women and men are unaware of the long-term effects of such a decision. As written in Psalms 82:5, they have neither knowledge or understanding. They walk about in darkness. Laura made a decision in the dark. We at A Place for Women try to shine that light into that darkness so parents like Laura can have better understanding before throwing precious life away. I too made a decision, like Laura. 45 years ago, as a recently married 21-year-old college graduate, my husband and I found ourselves facing an unplanned pregnancy. We were in the midst of going to graduate school. Both of us were seeking careers in the health field. My dream was to go to medical school. Having a child was not in my plan. We were too young and non-financially ready because we were heavily indebted with loans. My immediate reaction was to seek abortion. My husband, on the other hand, reassured me that although having a baby so early was not part of our plan, we will be fine. We did not share with anyone. I would not dare to share with my parents, especially my father. My father was not happy that I chose to marry so young because he was concerned that I would get pregnant and I would continue my education. I did not want to disappoint them. I was adamant about having abortion. It was my body and my mind. I had a surgical abortion at Planned Parenthood. As happens with many, my initial thoughts were of relief. I recovered quickly, and the whole incident's experience were suppressed from my mind, and we went on with our lives. As I mentioned, we kept our secret from our family and friends, not realizing that that we cannot hide from God. Unbeknownst to me, the Holy Spirit was softening my hardened heart. I did realize my dream of being a doctor. The interesting thing is, I chose the specialty of radiology. In the 80s and 90s, the technology of OB ultrasound really improved. We were able to obtain clear images of the unborn. I was amazed that we were able to see such detailed fetal development. I was able to see the miracle of life. Not too long after I started practicing radiology, my husband and I became born-again Christians. God literally changed our lives and hearts. We understood God's love for all of us, even for the unborn. I regretted my abortion decision. It was not easy to come before the Lord to confess my sin of selfishness and the desire to have my own way. But as he slowly healed me over the years, I purposed in my heart to be an instrument for God to help another mother. So when I had the opportunity to help in providing medical ultrasound in Hawaii, I immediately volunteered. I want to give you all background on the issue of abortion and why, as Christians, we should defend the preborn humans. Then we would discuss what we do at A Place for Women and Oahu Pregnancy Center, and how you can make a difference. How prevalent is abortion? Guttmacher Institute states approximately 930,000 abortions in 2020. So like what the pastor was talking about, it's about 60 million since we have Roe versus Wade. So it is about 60-some million, but it's probably, at this point, we're talking about, on the average, it is estimated about 2,548 human beings are killed by abortion each day in the United States. Most weigh less than an ounce, and virtually all of them have a beating heart. In the name of freedom and women's reproductive rights, abortion kills the smallest and weakest of the human community. What about in Hawaii? The Guttmacher Institute estimated that approximately 30 abortions took place in Hawaii during 2020. That is about 9 children a day. which corresponds to 12.1 abortions per 1,000 women of childbearing age of 15 to 44. Since 2020, Charlotte Loser Institute has found that the amount of abortion in Hawaii have increased. As you can see, since 2020, so in the years of 2020 to 2021, there's a total abortions increase about 22.4%. Drug-induced abortions up 40.4%. Drug-induced abortion, or another term for it, is medical abortion, which is abortion by taking pills as compared to surgical abortion. FDA approved usage up to 10 weeks gestational age. Pills now can be obtained easily through online websites. The rules for dispensing medication over the internet were relaxed during the pandemic and have continued to be dispensed outside of the prior FDA approvals. Since the overturning of Roe by the Supreme Court in 2022, it is estimated that the abortions in Hawaii have increased even more. What's the reason? The abortion laws in Hawaii are laxed, essentially allowing abortions up to the time of birth when considering the exception. Some say we have become an abortion vacation destination. So let's look at the reason why women have abortion. As you can see on the table, the state of Florida asked all the women to state a reason before obtaining an abortion. We will use their number as an example, making the assumption that the numbers of women in Florida is similar to everywhere else. In 2020, as you can see, in Florida, there was about 75,000 abortions. If you look at the bottom of the table, as you can see, the largest percentage is 74.9% chooses abortion for no special reason. No specific reason, they just want an abortion. And 20.4 select abortion for social and economic reasons. That means we're talking about 95% of the women had an abortion because they wanted one or because of social and economic issues. Let's take an example of rape. As you can see, it is only 0.15%. We often hear that abortion needs to be available for women in case they are raped. Rape is a terrible crime, and a woman is the victim of violence. She needs those around her and the community to step up and help her. Though abortion may seem like a solution to delete the pregnancy and to reset her life, it is a violent act on her body and the preborn child. The child did nothing to deserve a violent, and just as the woman did not deserve the violence committed against her. Having a portion can be only another layer of trauma that the woman has to live with. Trauma on top of trauma is not healthy. From the child's perspective, they are no different than any other child at their point of development. If there were 20 people in this room and one of them was conceived from rape, could you point them out? No. They were also created in the image of God and have value to the Lord and society. Their value is not determined by how they were conceived or their location. Think about this from the data above. 71,000 preborn children, that's a 95% of 75,000 abortion, were sacrificed for 113 preborn children. That's 0.15% of 75,000. So the argument that abortion should be available for all women because of rape is flawed. Society does not need to sacrifice children to support women who have been raped. Society needs to have a compassionate response to support both the woman and her child. Now that we have a background in the issue of abortion, let's take a look at what is the rest of the society talks about. How many of you have heard the terminology abortion is a health care? Since the 1980s, people have been raised in an environment where media, TV, and celebrities have slowly been normalizing abortion to the point that killing human life has simply become health care for women. This image from social media is a great example of how society tries to make abortion appealing. They literally sugarcoated it. It would definitely be less appealing if there was an actual picture of an aborted child on this cake. A physician in the specialty of obstetrics are specially trained to provide health care to both mother and the unborn baby to ensure that both the mother and baby remains healthy. At time of delivery, the child and the mother and the baby at time of delivery. This is totally antithesis to the practice of medicine to purposely kill the unborn baby. I've briefly discussed how our society has devalued unborn human life. As Christians, we are to uphold God's values. We should not be influenced by society, but instead be influences of society. The following verses summarize God's perspective on the value of human life from conception. Behold, the children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Psalms 127:3. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that we were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Psalms 129:13-16. Being fully God and fully human, Jesus came to this earth beginning at conception. That in itself shows life is valuable at conception. This clip is from a program called Making Disciples, Making Life Disciples, put out by our national affiliate, CareNet. Let's listen to Tony Evans explain the Christian perspective.
When it comes to the issue of abortion, it has become America's Holocaust. When you look at over 56 million unborn children being slaughtered on what the Bible would call child sacrifice. It makes it a critical issue. And if we're concerned about life outside of the womb, then we better be concerned about life inside of the womb, which is the precursor to life outside of the womb, and have a whole life agenda and not a term life agenda. Most pastors I know are concerned about the well-being of people in their church as well as outside of their church. Well, we need to be as equally concerned about the life in the womb. It's important for people to know that The issue of life is a theological and biblically founded issue. It's not one that starts with the culture, my history, my background, what people think. It starts with God's view of a matter, and God's views are recorded in Scripture. You can go all the way back to creation, that life was established by God. So once you establish life, you have brought God into the picture. When God established life, or even predicted the establishment of life in Genesis chapter 1, he says, we're going to make man in our own image. So to attack life is to attack God, because life reflects the image of God. So people need to understand that when you come after that unborn child, you are coming after God. Most people don't make that connection, that this is an attack on God. It's an attack on what they perceive is life or is not life that they don't want. But you have actually assaulted God. You've taken the knife to God. You've taken whatever the tool is to God, because man is unique in that he has been created in the image of God. So we start with creation. You can continue with that when you look at the fact that God normatively links birth with conception. That you see over and over again that the first child that was born, Cain, it says Eve conceived and bore. The two are put together, both the beginning of life and the maturation in the womb to birth, and then the growth from that, which is why I love to talk about whole life, not term, because from beginning to end. And in fact, God tells Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:3, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Well, if God knew you before a conception took place, then he most certainly knows you when a conception takes place, okay? Very practically, you see the baby growing in the womb in Scripture. You see, the Bible says that John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, the baby leaped. So you've now got God defining a unborn child as a baby. Well, if God says that that unborn child is a baby, then we cannot allow men to say it is not. That we need to bring people into conformity to God, not us becoming conformed to the culture. So God recognizes that that baby is life. In fact, the same words, the same Greek word, is used in Scripture of an unborn child and a child that's been born. When babies were slaughtered after they were born, that's the same Greek word as John the Baptist in the womb before he was born. So God does not distinguish terminologies in the womb. So when you look at all of the plethora, Job says in Job 10, he says, when God made me, he formed me in the womb. He says it again in Job 31, that he was formed and God put the skin on him in the womb. Well, if God's putting the skin on a him in the womb, and God is involved in all of this, of course, we know the famous words of David in Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, when he declares that you formed my inward part, and you have made me in my mother's womb. Well, God is creating something, and the clear fact that it's life is that it's growing, and you cannot have perpetual growth of something that has no meaning and existence and definition. So the Bible is clear that God has authored life, he sustains life, and his goal is that we might have abundant life.
Who are we and what we do? Sue Skinner started A Place for Women as an outreach of the women's ministry at Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor because she wanted to do something to care for the women and families in our community. She wanted women to have a safe place to reset their hearts, get educated, and learn about Jesus. God provided everything Sue and A Place for Women needed to not open their doors in 2010, but to quickly become a medical clinic. All our services are free and confidential. We are a HIPAA-compliant medical center. We are upfront and honest that our clinic does not perform or refer abortion. They are told on the website, on the phone, and sign a form that explains the limitation of our services before receiving any services. It's a patient's choice if she wants to meet us. The core services at our clinic, we provide pregnancy options consultations, on-site pregnancy testing, and limited scope OB ultrasound. At a place for women in Oahu Pregnancy Center, our pregnancy option education is evidence-based. What does that mean? That we share what science says about preborn and what the abortion really is. In addition, we practice permission-based education. Our educational sessions begin with the potential mother. Then, with her permission, we bring in the father of the baby. Each step of the way, we ask permission to share on the different topics. They actually sign off on a document to view any videos, including the ones I'm going to show you. And if they say no, we respect no.
10 weeks, the brain is highly complex and constitutes almost half of the embryo's total body weight. Growth continues at an extraordinary rate. By 10 weeks, 75% of babies exhibit right-hand dominance. The remainder are equally divided between left-handed dominance and no preference. This is the earliest evidence of right or left-handed behavior. The baby is becoming more physically active during this time. Motions may be slow or rapid, single or repetitive, spontaneous or reflexive. Head rotation, neck extension, and hand-to-face contact occur more often. Touching the embryo elicits squinting. Jaw movement, grasping motions, and toe pointing. Between 9 and 10 weeks, the upper and lower eyelids rapidly grow over the eyes and partially fuse together. Although there is no air in the uterus, the embryo displays intermittent breathing motions by 10 weeks. By this time, kidneys produce urine, which is released into the amniotic fluid. In baby boys, the developing testes begin to produce and release testosterone. The bones, joints, muscles, nerves, and blood vessels of the arms and legs closely resemble those in adults. By 10 weeks, the epidermis, or outer skin, becomes a multi-layered membrane, losing much of its transparency. Eyebrows grow as hair appears around the mouth. 10 weeks marks the end of the embryonic period. During this time, the developing baby has grown from a single cell into nearly 1 billion cells, which form more than 4,000 distinct anatomic structures.
Isn't this amazing? When we start our education with our patients, we really talk with them about what their thoughts of the development of the baby in their womb. And most of them don't really have an understanding. And I think that having this opportunity to see, most of them that come in, they're about 10 weeks or even less than that, 6 weeks pregnant. And this really surprised them a lot of times to see such a development at this age at 10 weeks. As I mentioned earlier, in medical abortion, FDA approved that abortion pills can be used up to 10 weeks gestational age. In Hawaii, this has been prescribed up to 11 weeks. So we're talking about a baby like that, that they would give pills for abortion for that. So after development, fetal development, we discuss pregnancy options. We talk about parenting, adoption, and abortion. We discuss parenting concerns, and if they're interested, we go over modern adoption. You'd be surprised that, at least in Hawaii, not too many people even suggest or even consider adoption. And this is kind of sad, right? There's so many parents that needs, that wants a baby. But for whatever reason, in this culture, in this island, the parents do not want to have adoption. I would say in the last 14 years, if my experience here at the center, we only maybe have one or two individuals that even consider adoption. They would choose either parenting or abortion. Afterwards, we then discuss the option of abortion. A majority of them are very interested in it because they either have gone on the internet and have seen, but a lot of them don't really know what abortion is all about. And we discuss with them initially about what their beliefs in abortion, and with permission, explain the medical procedure with a video. But of course, like I say, we are permission-based. So we ask them if they're willing to see a video. And it's not graphic in a sense, but it's more animated video for them. And depending on the gestational age, based on their menstrual period, we discuss about whether or not they qualify for medical abortion, which is less than 10 weeks, or surgical abortion. We then discuss on how or if any of the known increased risk factors of having an abortion may affect them. Physical. Medical abortion is promoted as very safe and simple, but patients can have incomplete abortion resulting in heavy bleeding and infection. We talk about emotional. Abortion is usually done in secret, like for myself, and patient may experience grief and has to deal with this grief alone, which can lead to depression and anxiety. The procedure experience itself may be very traumatic, leading to PTSD symptoms. Patient may use drug and alcohol to numb the emotional pain. Relational. You'd be surprised that a lot of times the couple will decide on abortion because they think that not having abortion, having a child, would be stress on their relationship. But in actuality, when they do decide to have abortion, some may become resentful of each other, especially if one of the couple do not agree with abortion, but they feel like that they have to go along with it. It can also affect the relationship with present as well as future children. And of course, the spiritual aspect, which we, like myself, I would say that sometimes you feel like that God's abandoned because I have this secret that I have to bear. And I feel guilty and regret, and then she could never get receive forgiveness. On the other hand, some individuals may be angry at God for allowing the pregnancy to occur. After the options consultation, we obtain a urine pregnancy test to document that she is pregnant. Then, depending on whether she qualifies medically, we offer a limited OB ultrasound. We want to confirm whether the pregnancy is inside the uterus as opposed to whether it's in a different location, what we call ectopic pregnancy. And we also evaluate the gestational age, because it's critical that we would know, of course, deciding whether or not to have medical and surgical abortion. We have patients that actually thought that they were only 10 weeks, and they come in, they were like almost second and third trimester. So, of course, at that point, they don't qualify for medical. And the last thing we look at is fetal cardiac activity. What does that mean? It means that if there's heartbeat and there's cardiac activity, that means that the pregnancy is viable, as opposed to miscarriage. Miscarriage or sudden loss of pregnancy before 20 weeks is common and affects 10 to 20% of known pregnancies. 80% of miscarriages happen in the first trimester. This is important to know because when a mom chooses abortion before confirmation of viability of pregnancy, she may carry the unnecessary guilt later on, thinking she has taken the life of her child when the pregnancy did not progress naturally. And therefore, that's the part that we usually show them. The majority of patients we see are early in their pregnancy, like this one. You'd be surprised that many will walk in at this point of 6 weeks pregnant, which is only 4 weeks after conception. And we call this the diamond ring stage. When we perform an ultrasound at 6 weeks, we expect this ring, this circle. That's actually called the yolk sac. This is where the baby gets the nutrition before the placenta starts growing. And guess what? That little dot right there is actually the embryo. And it looks like, doesn't it look like a diamond ring? It's amazing, right? When the fetal heartbeat is present, the gem will flicker like a brilliant diamond. Okay, so I'm showing you a video of it, and I want you to look at, oops, I guess I'm not getting that little light here. Where is it? You see that little flicker? Oh boy, that went by fast. Okay, so the gem is the diamond part, right? So the video shows that little diamond part. Okay, so if I could, anyway, that you guys could see that little dot right there on the end of that ring, right? So take a look at that area, and I'm going to show you. I don't know if you guys can see a little flicker. That's the heart. That's the cardiac activity of a 6 weeks embryo or a 4 weeks post-conception. Isn't that amazing? And I get to see this quite a bit. So I'm very glad to see that. Besides pregnancy option consultation, on-site pregnancy testing, and limited OB ultrasound, we provide these services. Why are our services needed? When a woman is pregnant, she has three options: parent, or place the child in adoption, and of course, abortion. No matter the choice, the life of the parents looks different. This is a life-changing decision worthy of research and time. In the case of abortion, it's forever a decision that cannot be changed. A successful abortion always takes the life of the child. And unfortunately, some women are not given the ability to see that life in the womb before making their decision to terminate. Some women need to talk through their situation and need a non-judgmental place to be educated with truth and experience compassion. They may not want others in their life to know about the pregnancy until they make that decision on how to proceed. A Place for Women and a Oahu Pregnancy Center are safe places where the women and the men to explore their options with qualified medical staff and evidence-based information. No matter what the choices are, or no matter what choice the woman makes, We tell them, if you did go through abortion, come on back, because we could still be able to support you. We actually offer biblically based abortion recovery classes to the community. I believe that that would have made a difference for me if I had loving peer counselors to educate me and to help me through the decision process that my husband and I made. And I have been able to see my baby at early stages of development on ultrasound. In 2021, we added a mobile medical services to the island. Our mobile medical clinic runs under the name of Oahu Pregnancy Center. We take the mobile out into the community. Presently,
Aloha.
We are in Kaka'ako, we are in Kapolei, and in the near future, we hope to expand that to the rest of the islands, like in the Windward Sai and North Shore. I wanted to give you a tour of our mobile.
Aloha. Today we're taking a tour of Oahu Pregnancy Center's mobile medical clinic. We wanted to bring a medical clinic on island to go into the community where people live and need the services. We provide free ultrasounds, pregnancy testing, as well as options consultation. When you walk onto the clinic, you'll notice it looks very comfortable, and it is. And it's also very professional looking. In this area is when the options consultation will happen. We only use evidence-based medical information to share with the women and men who need our services. And we hope at the end of the consultation that they'll see that they have a support system and that there is hope for their dreams and their children. We're really about building up families. To the right is a nurse's station, and to the left is a restroom where pregnancy tests are administered. Now, as we go into the ultrasound room, you'll see that it is actually a rather large space. It's very comfortable for probably up to 4 people. And we also have pocket doors that close and lock in place. That is for the privacy of the woman. This vehicle is actually HIPAA compliant to hold 2 patients at one time with these locking doors. In this room, the woman gets to see if her pregnancy is viable, see life in the womb, so that she has the information that she needs to make a decision on her pregnancy.
A Place for Women was formed to help a societal problem that needs a Christian response. Only Jesus, his love, grace, and forgiveness can heal this world. Women are being deceived into thinking abortion is healthcare and safe, though it always takes a human life. And that is easy and fixes a problem so that they can continue with their lives like it never existed, like myself. Thinking about that. But fixing one perceived problem unknowingly can create other long-lasting issues. A Place for Women strives to be a compassionate answer to educate the women in both the medical and spiritual truth. So what can you do to help us? What can you do to partner with us? I don't know whether you have received the flyer, but this is the flyer that includes the ministry update from 2023, and it summarizes our services and contact information. So what can you do to help us? Well, we be a life ambassador. What does that mean? That means that you understand God's value on human life, and you share that with family and friends. But don't be afraid if somebody comes to you and are facing an unplanned pregnancy. Talk with them, say that you support them, you support their unborn child, and you take them to a pregnancy medical clinic. Vote your values. This is important. This is an election cycle. Do you know the candidates that you're voting for? What is their view on abortion? And I would tell you, that is apparently one of the biggest or though not often talked about, topic that is being, at this point, being voted this year. Also, if you have a post-abortive friend, relative, and they're having difficulties, suggest them going to a post-abortive Bible study. That really will help some individuals, and we have seen that, and we have that in our church. The women are, many of them may have done this many, many years ago, like myself. I mean, this happened 45 years ago for me. So it's very important that they need to know that God forgives them for the, like for myself, was pride. And I think that if they know that God loves them, and many of them actually come to the Lord in that type of Bible study. And you could partner us, of course, with prayers and finances. I want to leave you with Kelly's story. She found out that she was 24 weeks pregnant when she's 14 years old. Kelly and her pro-life Christian parents sought out the advice from her youth pastor at their church.
Even my youth pastor sat across from me as I asked her, "What does God say about abortion?" And she told me, "If I pray and I come to the conclusion that abortion is the answer, then God will understand. I mean, after all, I'm 14. How can I be a mother?" No one told me to carry my child to term. Every single person who knew my situation advised abortion. No one considered any other option. Every day I wonder if just one of them would have said, "You know, having a baby is going to be really hard, but not impossible, and you can do it. There are resources available. Have you considered adoption?" No one ever said those things to me. What would have happened if just one person would have supported me? You can be that one person for, yes, your daughter or son, cousin, or just somebody at work. You can be that one person. Women in a crisis are just looking for support.
Kelly's late-term abortions scarred her emotionally. She tells how before the doctor did an injection in her abdomen, she felt her baby kick like never before and then just suddenly stop. When she had dilated enough, a nurse came for her and guided her to what she describes as a closet with a toilet in it. She was told to birth her dead child into the toilet. That was the value society has put on this young mom's child. It was treated like waste. Kelly's life was not easy after that. She spiraled downward emotionally. But then, as a counselor helped her, she found the Lord. Kelly now is happily married with 4 children and a pro-life advocate. All women deserve better than what Kelly received. No one has explained the procedure to Kelly. She did not know the truth about what was going to happen and how it would affect her future. No one explained adoption as an option or the value of her child's life to her, society, and the Lord. Her parents was deceived into believing that Kelly's life would be negatively altered if she continues with her pregnancy, and that it was worth sacrificing their grandchild to try to protect the quality of life for the daughter. They bought into the lies of abortion as the answer, when Christ, with the help of the church, should have been the answer. We can, as representatives of Christ, help women like Kelly by sharing truth and hope with them, truth of Jesus Christ and the truth about hope and salvation and life. You can be that one person that makes a difference in someone's life by just being willing to say something and help them seek the truth before making a lifelong decision. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you today. I hope I have enlightened you a little bit about the issue of abortion in Hawaii as well as in our country. Feel free, I'm going to be in the back. Just come by and talk to me if you have any questions or anything you want to talk. Our contact information is also on the flyer. But I really appreciate the opportunity to share with you because this is such an important issue that we just kind of push it aside. But it has come, in the state of Hawaii, I'm telling you, it's in our legislature. It's really, really, I've been doing this for 14 years. I even went to the Capitol several years ago, and I'm telling you, the people there have really hardened hearts, and I know that they're making a laws that it's not good for our state. So really, really need to look at the candidates that you're voting for, even the U.S. senators and congressmen, because it's going to be a big issue. It's going to be right up front for us.
Amen. Doctor, would you wait for a moment, please?
Yeah.
I want to confirm some things. Thank you. First of all, thank you for the great presentation.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
Pastor Jacob, thank you for inviting Dr. Wong. I think I told you before we started that I'm really ignorant of what was available and so forth, and this flyer is phenomenal, the information that's in there. But your presentation is very enlightening, too. You might have said it, but I didn't hear it. Young girls between younger than 20, do you have a percentage on the top of your
mind? You'd be surprised. I don't have it with me here,
yeah.
But you'd be surprised. I thought when I started this that I would be mainly seeing teenage girls.
Right.
I would say that that's not, maybe 20%.
Good.
Majority of them are actually 20 to 40. And a lot of times they're even married, which I am really surprised at that too.
That was the opinion that I had, that yeah. It seems like it's a cultural misunderstanding that it's always going to be young girls who...
Yes,
and that's not the case in your experience.
No.
I look at this flyer and it says Oahu Pregnancy Center is the mobile clinic. Is that, that's the only place that Oahu Pregnancy Center functions, is that mobile clinic. Is that correct?
No.
No.
So a place for women,
yes,
that I showed you in the commercial, a commercial that we put on the radio, I mean the TV, that is our office.
Okay.
So our office is located at a center that is next to our church with the Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor.
Right, that's
so that's where the women, they actually have a separate entrance that they come to. So it's very discreet, and
okay,
they come upstairs.
That's what
so
I
that's our main.
Okay.
And we've been there since 2010.
Okay.
So this new mobile clinic we got came up in 2021, like I mentioned. And we actually brought it over from a ministry that's called ICU Ultrasound. And would you believe that our director and her husband actually drove across the country? We were in Ohio. We picked up the van, brought it over to LA, and then from there we came over here. So this is new.
Amen.
This is the only one that's here.
Amen. My wife and I were just commenting, we had not seen that vehicle around, and then you mentioned where you're moving it to, I guess, a couple
yeah,
of
so
one.
Since our church is in Eva, or I should say Waipapa,
yeah,
we go, of course, to the west side, which is Kapolei. So we're there at the Crux Center.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just added the Kakaako this past year, and we're over at right across from Salt. That's the other location.
Okay.
So what we've noticed that what happened is when we're first there, everybody's kind of like trying to figure out. And then over the months and this past year, people see this as consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So they come in and we take what we call walk-ups too. But majority of them, we make appointments with them.
Okay. Amongst students,
mm-hmm,
does a young lady need parental approval to come and see you or to get an abortion?
Right now in the state, I think 14 years and over, they don't have to tell anybody.
I just wanted to confirm that.
Yeah, yeah.
So the possibility of a 14-year-old or 15-year-old girl coming to you,
mm-hmm,
seeking advice,
mm-hmm,
would be greatly enhanced by people who care and address the possibilities for life with that
Yes.
I think that's a place where the church is not fulfilling its mission, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that a lot of times, like, for example, like Kelly, right? Yeah. So most of them will come in and they actually, some of them surprised me that there might be church members or even staff.
Who encourage it.
Yeah, and yeah. So it's
how tragic.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely tragic. So we would recognize that within this body, I know it's very personal, very private, there's a possibility that there are women here today who've had abortions.
Yes.
And what you're offering to them, and we would be reminded, is every one of them can be forgiven and a new life can start.
Absolutely.
Right, because that's who our God is. But there are other young women who maybe are not pregnant now that someday could seek guidance or counsel from somebody in this audience.
Yes.
And I would take the position that God doesn't approve of abortions. It's not an option. It's not a health care issue. It's a personal choice. And what we saw from your data says that it's often based on, let's say, irrational. I don't want to say rational. Or reasons that don't make sense. But the high percentage from Florida was for no reason at all.
Correct.
And the assumption is that there's hidden reasons. And I would suggest, and maybe you would confirm it, that in our culture in Hawaii, predominantly Asian, you mentioned that adoption is not a viable topic here.
No.
My wife and I just recently went to a movie addressing adoption in a southern church. And it's very noticeable that in Hawaii, we have foster care, which is very prominent. But that's after a child has been born and cared for probably poorly. But Christians as a whole in Hawaii, church does not go for adoption. A few churches do, and it's very evident.
Yeah, and I think a lot of reason is because most of this decision is made in secret.
That's right.
And nobody wants to carry a child through and say, I'm pregnant because of whatever reason.
Whatever.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think that that's mainly. And I'm a little surprised, too. I actually talked with a Hawaiian in actually the conference that we went to when we picked up the mobile. She says something that kind of bothered me, but she says, no, I'm not saying, it may be a kind of surprise to you too. She says, the Hawaiian culture says if I don't keep my child, because it's come from my culture, I'd rather not have anybody raise them without the Hawaiian culture. So they would actually either take upon in their own family or abort.
Hanai. That's probably quite common.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not aware personally of a high percentage of Hawaiian abortions. I'm sure because of poverty, whatever reasons, mm-hmm. there's a significant number. But on the other side, we've lived in Asia where there's actually, that is an accepted form of health care, and it's quite common for 1, 2, 3, and 4 abortions in a lifetime.
Yes,
with one individual.
Not uncommon.
So,
yeah.
And in Hawaii, I say predominantly from a cultural standpoint, my experience is that Asian families have the child often, and the grandparents end up taking care of the child, non-married mother and so forth. So there's
right.
these social issues that get attached
right.
to it.
Right.
But let me, and I'll close with this. I know I'm peppering you with a lot of questions.
No.
Others have questions. I want to make sure that everybody understands that we are living in a time where this is a major issue. And it's become a matter of conscience. And I want you to know that your conscience is sacred before God. That we know, if you've lived more than 50 years, you know that there are times when people have to make very difficult decisions. These decisions, these kinds of decisions, should be well-informed. They should be focused on getting the best counsel and so forth. I want to say to you today that we're going to support this ministry from the church, okay? But I want to encourage you, each one of you, consider how you're impacting our state. I am tired of being called the most Christian state in the nation, where we have the most liberal laws in every area of life. We take pride as Hawaiians in allowing euthanasia. We take pride in our abortion statistics. We take pride in our transgenderism. Hear me. There are issues politically that are in our culture that you and I can no longer just stand on the side and say, oh, Hawaii is so beautiful. We're in trouble. And Christians have got to take a stand on what we believe. Now, if that's you giving, supporting, at a bare minimum, I think you should take one of these flyers and have it available as your friends, daughters, or friends who you socialize with, you find out they're pregnant, the topic should come up. You're not considering abortion, are you? Can we be so flagrant to bring up a topic like that? And in a very difficult scenario, I pray that you're close enough to somebody you can have that conversation. Because that's what we need to do. We need to be upfront. Sometimes without even a young girl knowing what possible options there are. Can I hear it? One amen? Amen. Come on now, it's time. Listen, this is in line with everything that we believe the Lord's saying to the church today. It's time to put a stop. 60 million plus babies. And let me tell you, Pastor Jacob, if you haven't read the statistics, we're doing more abortions today since Roe v. Wade was terminated. Okay? It's gone down to the states, and the states, many, are more lenient than Roe v. Wade allowed for. This is not a solution. Roe v. Wade is not the solution. The solution is and always has been Jesus Christ and the church.
It's the heart. It's the heart.
That's right. That's it. It's Jesus Christ and the church, and we've got to do something. So from your giving, we're going to support this ministry. I'm going to get a little bit more information. I would encourage you. We have lunch coming up, and I know that might be on many of your minds, but just take a few minutes. If you've got a circumstance or situation, sorry about that. I would like you to make sure you talk with Dr. Wong this morning, okay? Would you rise with me? By the way, if you'd like to give individually today, you can do that online through Tithely. We're still taking contributions through Subsplash. That can happen. If you want to write a check, write it out to Women's Place, a place for women.
Yeah, I mean, it's written here.
In there where it can give
it. It's in the flyer.
We will take an offering. Yeah. You know, you can drop it in the boxes. Whatever's given, we'll make sure it gets to them, okay, so that there's a recognition of our commitment to that today. And let me say, Don, it's nice to have you driving your wife around doing this kind of stuff. All right. Thank you. You guys are here. Would you guys just, can I hold your hand or put my hand on your shoulder? Yes. Let's pray for Dr. Wong and this ministry right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that from a life that has become very transparent, that you've called her to a position of care, concern, and involvement, Lord. She's no longer standing on the wayside, on the side, just wringing her hands, saying, what can I do, Lord? She has picked up the plow, and she's not looking back. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you that more of us need to become transparent with the things that we have done that have hurt others or ourselves. And, Lord, let our hearts be open today for your forgiveness for each one of us, Lord, that we would not be incriminating ourselves, condemning ourselves, because Scripture tells us there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Let us be set free from those perspectives and attitudes, even the cultural ones where parents have laid it on children, children have hidden from parents, all the darkness that exists in the families of Hawaii. We come against those in Jesus' name. Father, I pray this morning that this church, this body, has heard your word and will take action. Bless the Wong family as they minister in this way. Bless this ministry. Let us become considerate partners with them in changing and saving lives. We thank you for it now in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Please go in peace, but take time. Lunch.